Good evening, Lehigh Valley, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening. We have a very special guest this evening. We have Dr. Alice Gast, who's president of Lehigh University, with us this evening, and we're going to be talking about Lehigh University, its business, and sort of the future and the paradigm shifts that are going on with education. Before I begin to ask Dr. Gast questions and have her respond, I would like to give you a little bit of background about both Lehigh and Dr. Gast. Lehigh was founded in 1865, and it ranks number 38 in the U.S. News & World Report's National University Rankings. Lehigh has more than 90 undergraduate programs and majors with its four colleges of College of Arts and Sciences, College of Business and Economics, P.C. Rosin College of Engineering and Applied Science, and College of Education. So for those of you who drive past 378 or 4th Street or go up the hill on South Mountain, sometimes we don't realize what a gem we have here in Lehigh University here in South Bethlehem. And leading the charge for Lehigh University is Dr. Alice Gast. She has been president of the university since 2006, and she comes to us as the first female president of Lehigh, even though Lehigh has been co-ed now for over 40 years. She is accomplished and a recognized professional. She's done a research career that focused on behavior of complex fluids, and she is co-author of Physical Chemistry of Surfaces. Prior to leading Lehigh University, she was vice president for research and associate provost at MIT. Before that, she taught at Stanford, and I just learned as she came on tonight that in 2010, she was the science envoy to Central Asia by the State Department. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
As the first female president of Lehigh and a president after going up through the education and the research end, how have you found the role of president? Has it been a responsibility that you felt was very demanding, very much beyond what you had been applied for your research background, your previous positions at Stanford, MIT? How does one prepare to leap from the education to managing such a business?
It's a tremendous joy to be at Lehigh and to be the president of Lehigh University. It's a wonderful institution, and we have such terrific students and faculty and alumni. It's a joy to lead. I think in the way of preparation, first and foremost, it was important to be an academic scholar. And being a researcher and teacher, I understand the mission very deeply. And I've been an academic my entire career. And I think that's really important because one has to wake up every day and remember why we're there and what the mission is. Secondly, I think it's really critical to be a people person. It's a job with many constituencies. The joys of interfacing with students and faculty, going out and visiting alumni and friends of the university make it a very people-oriented job. And I have a lot of help. I have a tremendous team. And being able to recognize talent and be able to recruit people to come help us run and lead and manage Lehigh has been very important.
It is a tremendous resource, and not only for the education, but in the community. Lehigh has been a tremendous resource as well, understanding there are a lot of components to that. But was there anything in particular that attracted you to Bethlehem, to Lehigh University? Was there any one thing that stuck out as you were looking at going on and you know, continuing your career?
It was a wonderful job to be the vice president for research at MIT, and it was not easy to leave institution. But I was very attracted to Lehigh and the focus on the whole student. The faculty really take care to get to know their students, to work with them, and to teach them critical thinking and how to learn on their own and how to put information together to solve problems. And I think that that's really what we're all about. And I was very attracted to the spirit and culture and mission of Lehigh.
And listeners, when she's talking about this, realize, and I've got some statistics about Lehigh here that you may not be aware of, that there are over 2,358 acres that make it one of the largest private universities in the country. The campus includes Asia Packer Campus, Mountaintop, Murray H. Goodman Campus, and in 2012 they received a piece of property at Stabler, a Stabler Foundation gift of 755 acres. So we're talking about geographically a fairly large complex organization. We're talking about classrooms, laboratories, offices, living space, and playing space that Dr. Gast is responsible for. And student-wise, and I'm not sure if this is the most recent statistics, but I got undergraduates of over 4,800 and about almost, well, not quite 50-50 men and women, but pretty much equal, 78% out-of-state students and graduate students of, if you count full-time and part-time, of over 3,000. Anything surprise you as you took over the reins of this, and anything you weren't anticipating or that you found extra pleasure in that you didn't think you would?
Well, we are certainly blessed, as you point out, particularly with wonderful students and faculty. And it's a small enough institution where the students still get to know their faculty. So I think it's actually well-positioned and just the right size. We are also blessed with a tremendous asset in our campus and the wonderful and venerable old buildings, as well as some of the new things that have been built to support a growing research endeavor. And the ability to provide athletic fields and wonderful facilities for our students for their life outside of the classroom as well. I might add that the community makes tremendous use, especially of the Goodman campus. Mm-hmm. On any given weekend, you'll see many, many youth soccer games, and it's wonderful to have the opportunity to have that interface with the entire community.
And the facilities, too. Lehigh has been very generous with allowing communities to use, you know, Stabler and other facilities on a fairly regular basis, because I don't know where else we would go with some of the community events that we have without having a resource like that available to us.
It is tremendous. And you look at the history of Lehigh, they made some very important decisions. And one was to move the football stadium to the other side of campus, which made way for the Rausch Business Center mm-hmm. and the Zollner Arts Center. And, of course, the Zollner Arts Center has been a tremendous asset to the whole valley.
I remember back when I was in college, I dated someone who had gone to Lehigh, and they didn't have to take, and this was still all men, they didn't have to take phys ed requirements because they were walking up and down the hill all the time. And when they took out the stadium to make the, there was a lot of sadness of some of the alums regarding that, because it was an easy walk that they couldn't do anymore from campus. But you're correct. I mean, I've had the opportunity to work at the Rausch Business Center, and it's a beautiful facility, and Zollner, of course, which is right there as well, would not be there without having made that move. So, yeah, it's great. Is there, from your perspective, is there a business model that you apply or research when you're looking at addressing problems, concerns, challenges, or is there within the academic environment sort of their own model of the way to handle things? Do you coordinate a lot with other presidents? Is there an opportunity to mastermind, brainstorm when situations come up that you may not have had an opportunity to deal with?
Well, we certainly learn a lot from one another. And I've been the beneficiary of great mentorship and camaraderie of some fellow university presidents. But it's important to note that all of our institutions are somewhat different from one another. And I think that's one of the beauties of the U.S. system of higher education, is the breadth of types of institutions we have, so that students can find the one that matches their needs and find the right fit, and that's critically important. As a business, a university really is has to keep remembering its mission, and our mission is education. It isn't business, it's education. Mm-hmm. And in that, it's a very consensus-oriented organization. Faculty really are responsible for the curriculum, for the pedagogy, and for working with the students and pursuing their creative work and their research in a free and open environment. Academic freedom is very important, and faculty can follow the things that interest them most and follow new discoveries and develop their research programs without any overarching strategy coming from the institution. That said, it's really beneficial to get the community to come together and do some strategic thinking and strategic planning. And we did that in 2007 and 2008, really stepping back from the day-to-day work of the university to think about where we'd like to see Lehigh in 10 years. And it was helpful to lay out that strategic plan. One thing it did was it reinforced our vision for higher education and the importance of that marriage of research and first-rate scholarly work with teaching in the classroom and outside the classroom and the whole student experience that we're so good at. And so it helped reinforce that, but it also helped us think about pushing ourselves to new levels.
There are two things that you just mentioned that I wanted to follow up a little bit on, because I've never been outside the United States as far as education and looking at, you know, other institutions beyond what we consider high school. Is there that much difference between the way our higher education is set up versus what you might find in Europe or Asia?
Well, in many ways, of course, we benefit from our European heritage and legacies, and our institutions were set up on the model of European universities. But in some ways, we've been able to move to new structures. And so we do find differences between the older European universities and the U.S. ones. Now you see Asian universities very much emulating the U.S. higher education system, and they're quite good at it. They can start with perhaps a clean slate and a lot of money and importing or bringing back some of their talent, many of whom were educated in the U.S. or Europe. One of my concerns is that as we see so much investment in these other countries in higher education, that we maintain our own investment in this country. You might note that when Michael Bloomberg announced his gift, his most recent pledge to Johns Hopkins, he mentioned that higher education in this country is defunded, as he put it, basically underfunded. And especially when you look abroad, you recognize that we need to support higher education and our research and teaching missions in order to make sure our students are prepared for the coming decades.
Well, correct, in that we have the right leadership, because it's only through that education that we can build and cultivate.
And we do create leaders, and I do think we still have an edge because we have the ability to provide more open-ended work. Our students push us to provide interdisciplinary studies, to allow them to probe new areas and to think outside the box. Our students are very innovative and entrepreneurial. And I think that we need to keep nurturing that kind of American higher education spirit for our students.
Well, and speaking of the interdisciplinary programs, I'm aware of, because I had been at Roush, I was aware of some of the things that happened with the business college. Are there other programs within Lehigh that have developed that we can share with our listeners?
The one you're probably familiar with is the Integrated Business and Engineering program. There's also a computer science and business, sort of an analytic finance focus. There's also a one called IDEAS, which is Integrated Degree in Engineering, Arts, and Sciences. And
You
find students pulling together their interest in arts and science and their interest in engineering. And some of those students are following very creative curricula, and quite a number of them are involved in entrepreneurial work, and some of them win our awards for entrepreneurship projects each year.
Well, it's interesting because I don't know the acronym that the schools are using now, the high schools, that they have this program that's sort of a track, and they have everything except the arts included in it. And it seems to me that that's such a loss, because it's that creativity that I think we've lost out on in our education process, at least at the younger ages, because we've all gotten to technology and we're, you know, not thinking. We're using the computers instead of kids playing outside and making mud pies or whatever. But
one notable and one of the early IDEAS students, Casey Rule, is very involved in music, and not only in performance in the Glee Club, but in composition. And that supplemented his computer science degree. And he's now working in computing and in web design, but he maintains his work in music. And he had a piece professionally done that was came from his additional work as a Martindale scholar when they traveled to Iceland and studied Iceland. And he used his creative talents to compose piece.
And that probably would not have come together without that opportunity to pull all those different disciplines together and have that sharing among the students.
Yeah, that's the kind of place Lehigh is.
Listeners, we're going to be taking a brief break, but please stay tuned because we've got more to talk about Lehigh University, about what's happening in the higher education field for the future. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you're listening to Sally Hanlon, and my guest this evening is Dr. Alice Gast, president of Lehigh University.
WDIY is proud to present the 13th annual Heart of the Valley Antique Show on March 2nd and 3rd. Come see 25 exhibitors featuring Americana, including textiles, furniture, pottery, folk art, toys, and much more. The show is held in the historic Charles Brown Ice House in the heart of historic Bethlehem. For show hours, directions, or information, WDIY.org.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem's South Side in their 32nd season presenting Fresh Voices, created and performed by the Touchstone Apprentices with guidance from the Touchstone family. For tickets and information for this event, February 22nd and 23rd, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you're listening to Sally Hanlon, and my guest this evening is Dr. Alice Gast, president of Lehigh University, and we're talking about the business of higher education. We're talking about Lehigh. We're talking about the future of education, and before our break, Dr. Gast was talking about some of the strategic planning that was being done within the community and with Lehigh in 2007, 2008. And on break, we talked a little bit about the strategic planning that's done at a university versus what's being done in the business world, very different. And so let's talk a little bit about that and the process that you go through and how often you plan on doing that and go back and check against it.
Well, certainly a strategic plan for a university has to be a long-range plan. And it was an opportunity, as I mentioned, to have everyone step back a little bit from the day-to-day and think about the university on a longer term. Universities are not known for their academia is not known for its rapid pace of change, and yet the world is changing rapidly now. Yes. Between the connections internationally and globalization, the technology coming in through distance education and online education, we need to be more agile than we have been in the past. We undertook what we called a strategic thinking process, where we got a lot of people, our campus, to step back and think about the future. And then we developed a strategic plan that was a fairly general overarching plan that focused on investment in faculty and staff, engaging every student and enhancing and building on our strengths in student engagement inside and outside the classroom, partnerships with our community because of the importance of South Bethlehem for Lehigh's future. And so it was really an opportunity for us to then take all that we do and look at some of the grand challenges facing the world and a little more outward focus on how we contribute to the big problems in the world, both through our research and through educating the next generation of leaders to solve those challenges or to help solve those problems. That was a wonderful process, but we didn't leave the plan on the shelf. We've been implementing it through opportunities such as new faculty chairs that I put forth in with some budget funds that I had, and really developing our fundraising plan focused on faculty and faculty-endowed chairs. We also developed cluster hiring, where different departments have the opportunity to come together in a theme that's strategic for them in the future, and a new faculty member would come in seeing that they'll have their own colleagues in their discipline, but also colleagues across campus with a common interest on one of the grand challenge themes. The first two clusters we started are the energy systems cluster, which spans engineering, science, and economics, and the Africana Studies cluster, which also spans a number of departments in religion studies and across the humanities and arts. These are means to move the plan along. Our plan then is very integrated with our campus master plan, and we undertook a plan for the campus and the long-term future of the campus, especially the Issa-Packer and Mountaintop campuses. Mm-hmm. And we did that work also looking at our neighborhood and the South Bethlehem region and what we could do to help it further develop and become the vibrant community that we believe it can be. And then the third element is a campaign plan as we seek the resources to make all of this happen. We focus on the big ideas and big things that one can do with resources. So a donor would see not only helping their alma mater, but the impact that that help will have on educating the next generation of leaders, on solving challenging problems, on making a difference in the world.
Well, and Lehigh has been an amazing institution with the alumni relations. Having had a store in South Bethlehem at one point that had opportunities to have gifts from various universities, Lehigh's and Penn State's flew out of my store every single time. I couldn't keep them on the shelf, despite the fact Lehigh was just up the street. There's a strong commitment. I know several alums, and you know, Lehigh is just near and dear to their heart, and they always put it first. And so maintaining that, I would imagine, especially, well, the first transition before you was going from male to co-ed, and now with the changing educational environment, is it difficult to keep up that alumni relations pace? And I know that you're probably out on the road a fair amount meeting with alums and groups throughout the country.
It's a joy to go out and meet with alums and to talk about Lehigh today. Many of them do have wonderful and fond memories of their time at Lehigh, but they also recognize that the world is changing. Often you'll find alumni, when they're of an age where their children or grandchildren are coming to Lehigh, get a brand new perspective on what it's like today. And they're very eager for Lehigh to maintain its leadership role in higher education and to really see it going to the next level. I think our very loyal and dear alumni can raise their sights as they see Lehigh's impact on the nation and the world, and the impact of young alumni coming out of Lehigh today. And they can see the effect of their support and their donations on the broader world through Lehigh, and we think that's an important direction in our campaign.
They're seeing Lehigh maintain its edge, and I think you're out there showing them exactly the open thinking and the forward thinking that Lehigh is doing these days. I know I have dealt with a number of entrepreneurial businesses that have come out of Lehigh and, you know, that have stayed in the area, which has been wonderful. But these young folks are very impressive with, you know, what they come out with, their thinking, and how they're able to address problems and situations, which obviously is part of the background they get when they're at school here.
Yes, Lehigh really excels at having students learn the fundamentals, be very well educated, but also learn how to apply what they've learned to solving complicated problems. Mm-hmm. Real critical thinking, putting the pieces together from their various classes and putting that knowledge to work. One of my favorite examples is Allison Prosswimmer, who's a recent grad, and she talked about studying history and studying the Depression and the effect of the Great Depression on poor people, on poverty. She also was a Martindale scholar. She got to travel to Turkey, where she also learned a lot about poverty in that country. And she came back here. She was working with Bethany Ministries, okay. And she said that she was able to apply what she'd learned through her studies of history and through her travels to working with them, and first of all, to helping them decide what their needs were rather than coming in with preconceived ideas on how to help a community organization. I think that ability to take fundamental knowledge and apply it to a critical current problem as the Great Recession was hitting the community of South Bethlehem is really a hallmark of Lehigh. We call it bridging theory to practice or taking theory to practice. And often people think that might mean engineering or something practical, but actually every single thing we teach educates our students so that they can make a difference in the world.
And it's so important because there's no textbook world out there. I mean, you have to be able to think on your feet. You have to be able to really understand and evaluate before you can be productive and contribute. So, yes, and I've seen that happen in every program that I've been exposed to from Lehigh, from the arts programs with the strong interpretive arts and the community arts, and then even the sports programs. So it goes from A to Z is owner. But in addition to your traveling for Lehigh, I mean, you've been tapped because you're such an amazing resource in the field of sciences. You've been on a lot of boards and on advisory committees. You're running this university. That's a lot of juggling going on. Now, I know you have a very competent staff, but still, that's a lot to switch gears and get prepared for. How do you manage to do that?
I think that my outside activities are all very beneficial, and they provide very wonderful connections for Lehigh. I'm always trying to connect the dots. I'm always trying to connect people and have them know more about Lehigh and bring some of these organizations in closer contact with Lehigh. For instance, the Council on Competitiveness, we did a large national study of manufacturing and the needs of 21st century manufacturing in this country, bringing back jobs, bringing back manufacturing. We were able to co-host here with the council and with Air Products a summit that was focused on the talent stream for that, the innovation needed and the educational aspects, and it was my pleasure to work with John McGlade and the Council on Competitiveness to have that forum here at Lehigh. So I really look at my outside activities as an extension of my presidency.
Okay. You had mentioned a little bit earlier about the cluster hiring and the interdisciplinary emphasis with students from engineering and arts and everything working together. There's also another situation at Lehigh that you're doing, which is living accommodations that are focused on certain aspects of, the one is environmental living and quality living. And I think an alumni bulletin recently mentioned that you're expanding the student living and learning experience. What else is there? Or can you tell us a little bit more about the environmental living learning?
Well, we recognize that students learn a lot during their college experience, and a lot of that happens outside the classroom. They do take what they're learning in class and use it, but they also learn quite a bit from their peers and their classmates and their mentors in their residences. We've really let the students drive the agenda there. The students express their desires for what we would call affinity-based housing, like the eco-environmental group. And they're wonderful because they push the rest of the campus to be more environmentally conscious, to save energy. They set up contests between houses to measure their electricity use. We have garbage recycle. What are the audits of people's garbage to see what they're throwing away? we have composting all over campus now, thanks to them. So by coming together as a living group and also leaders in their organizations, they've been able to spread the work across campus. So it's not an isolated thing at all. Another important living group actually started several years ago was a substance-free group, and now it's called Choices. But basically, those students pledge that they're not going to come home inebriated or under the influence of alcohol or drugs, and they want to live together in an environment where their classmates are also upholding that pledge. There's another one on music appreciation growing, I think. And from time to time, you find these interests and students would like to come together with like-minded students and have the opportunity to live with them.
If a student or a group of students had an idea of doing something, they would just approach the university and find out if there was an opportunity for them to find a dorm or someplace where it would be agreeable to for them to move to.
Yeah, of course, there have to be enough of them, and it has to justify the, and we have to have the space. So it is a juggling act that our housing group goes through, but we do try to accommodate these interests.
I know as a community, I've had the opportunity to see some of the students at Lehigh interact with businesses, be a part of working through solutions. And from a business perspective, that has allowed the business really to hopefully tap into new employees. the interdisciplinary programs that you mentioned, do they have a necessary component that says if you can link with a community business, work with a community business, to go outside the university with this interdisciplinary, but actually then put it to practice?
Certainly, the entrepreneurship programs and integrated product development is a program where they take challenge projects from local businesses. And those could be small, large, established, or new startup companies. And interdisciplinary team, usually a group of students from engineering and business and arts and sciences, will work together to solve or work on that challenge project. And then they will pitch their answers back to the business. And many of those are quite helpful and quite beneficial for the businesses. So there are many opportunities like that where our students are very eager to dig in and help the local community. Our Small Business Development Center is another organization that helps interface with our local merchants.
Lehigh has become a resource for small business because of the Small Business Development Center, Manufacturers Resource Center, Ben Franklin, all of that being located right with Lehigh has, I think, been very helpful to our business community.
And as more startup companies come from our entrepreneurship programs, perhaps they take some time in the Ben Franklin incubator or one of the other local incubators, where we're also providing new businesses that will interface with one another in the Valley.
And I think Lehigh has been a sort of an economic development arm of the Lehigh Valley. When you think about the Keystone Innovation Zone that we have here in the South Side, and there is discussion about expanding that to other areas. If it hadn't been for Lehigh working with the community, that would not have existed. So I've always give Lehigh a lot of credit for thinking into the community and not just putting up a wall.
Yeah, we're very proud of our Keystone Innovation Zone. It's known as one of the very successful ones in the state.
We're going to be taking a short break soon, but before we start that break, one of the things when you talk about strategic planning, looking at the future, I've been reading a lot about is, are the four-year degrees still something that are viable in this changing technology, information age when things happen so quickly? And as you went through your strategic planning sessions, what is this paradigm shift? Where are we going with education, higher education in the next 5, 10, 15 years? So hold on to that. We'll have Dr. Guest think about that. And when we come back from our break, let's talk about what is the future of education? Where is it going? How can we get to where we need to be in the United States to maintain our level of leadership in the world? Again, this is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Hey, it's us, Click and Clack. Is your car spring cleaning looking too daunting this year?
Not if you lend me your flamethrower.
Well, if it's time for new wheels, consider donating your old car to this station through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. For details, call 866-789-TMCP.
TMCP?
Yeah, take my car, please.
That's 866-789-8627.
For more information, visit our website, wdiy.org.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
Welcome back, listeners. Again, this is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And with me tonight is President Alice Gast of Lehigh University. And we've been having a great conversation about what's been going on at the university, you know, before she got there, as she's taken the helm and the leadership and the changes that are happening in the higher education environment. And before break, one of the questions that I posed is something that I've been a little concerned about and I've been reading about is the impact of 4 years peer education, and is that indeed still something that remains viable in a world where everything changes so quickly? And, you know, you can start as a freshman, and by the time you're a sophomore, you know, things in your major may have changed dramatically. So I pose that to Dr. Gast, and let's hear, what are your thoughts? When you did your strategic planning, is there a paradigm shift?
You know, I believe that that what we provide at Lehigh is still very important and very viable and very critical for our students. You have to separate the imparting of information with the educational aspect of learning how to think critically, how to take apart a problem and solve it, and work with others on a team, people working together with different expertise. And as we mentioned, we do a lot of that at Lehigh. We do that really well. We have our students learn the fundamentals, learn the information, but then really work with it. And in classes, the pedagogy isn't just telling them things. It's really talking through and thinking about what they're learning. And I think that's critically important these days. Employers and actually the world needs leaders who can connect the dots and put different parts of information together, because the problems are so complex. So while the world is changing rapidly, I do believe that if anything, we're looking for students who are more adept at that kind of analysis. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just a matter of learning the
ABCs
fundamentals.
Of it.
Yes,
yeah.
And you mentioned that a field may change, but that's where the interdisciplinary nature of what we do is important. Our students get to work across disciplines and either themselves explore different disciplines or work with peers who are from different majors. And so they learn how to think about a problem and look at it from different perspectives. And I think that's what's really needed as the world changes and the problems get more complex.
And perhaps as I'm listening to you describe that, and I'm thinking about experiences that I've been familiar with, perhaps more of the onus of that goes back to maybe our corporate structure in this country not really being the 21st century structure yet that it needs to be to allow that to happen. Because when you have the silos, you don't have that interdisciplinary thought process going on in corporate America. And it's so important. I mean, I think with small businesses, one of the big things that has come out is we have to collaborate. We've got to have strategic alliances because you can't do it all yourself. And you have to realize that very early on in your business life, because you just most of our businesses have, here in the Lehigh Valley, have 9 or less employees. So when you have that few staff, you know, everybody's wearing multiple hats, and you've got to be able to think critically and move and get beyond your own sort of walls.
Yes, and I think that ability to pull teams together and to collaborate is very important, and our students do really come out of Lehigh ready to do that. They've had experiences with it, and it shows up in everything from actual teams in our athletic in our athletic work, where the students not only perform individually, but they work well, extremely well together. To these projects like the IPD I mentioned, mm-hmm. and the other projects that they work on that brings them together with students they may not have known before from across campus. One of our alums talks about what he learned. He's in the finance world, very successful. And he says at Lehigh he learned about hybrid vigor from his biology class. Hybrid vigor is the beneficial crossbreeding of plants to create a hybrid that is stronger and better. Mm-hmm. And he makes that analogy as he's building a team and breaking down the silos, saying that you want people around the table who are different and have different perspectives, and then together they make a stronger whole.
Yeah, absolutely. You have all that different work and life experience coming into play, which is extremely important. The other thing I was thinking about is we were talking about, the higher education and the importance of it as it stands today with the collaborative and the interdisciplinary. there's some amount of growing that is done and maturing into adulthood that you can't force into a two-year program, or you can't force into, you know, that's got to happen too, because our brains develop in a certain way, and we've got to be able to allow them maximum opportunity and exposure.
Yeah, certainly. There's a lot that is learned that can't be learned online or from a course at a distance. And our students really benefit from, again, those living and learning environments, as well as all the many, many things they do in addition to their coursework.
Now, you just mentioned something about online. I've noticed a lot of colleges seem to be going to online universities or setting up satellite campuses. Like there was a small college in Pennsylvania that's putting a satellite campus in Arizona. I didn't quite figure that out. I didn't know whether they had a strong alumni group or not. Is that a trend that you're seeing in a lot of your peer institutions?
Well, certainly there are many of these MOOCs, the massively online open courses, out there. And if we can benefit from them, it's a wonderful opportunity to learn more. I think in many ways they're attracting the non-traditional learner, the adult who's already graduated or perhaps never had the opportunity to go to college. And our students can benefit from that. As we have courses that are also taught in our distance education programs, and some of those may scale up and go to larger audiences. But we have to remember that our mission is really focused on our university students who, as you pointed out, so benefit from the whole experience, the experience of not only gaining knowledge and understanding the information, but being able to work with that information. And that happens in a live classroom, and that happens with a professor. Perhaps professors evolve over the decades, though, to become a little bit more of mentors and coaches for students as they're pulling information from multiple sources, not solely from the professor's lectures, but perhaps from other resources, such as online and books, the old-fashioned printed word.
I'm going to go kicking and screaming on that one. I loved the feel of that book in my hand, so I'm not going to change readily. As we look at the Lehigh students, one of the concerns that always comes up in the business community, again, is that we lose a lot of our graduates. And there was the brain drain was something that was coined a few years ago under Tom Ridge's administration in the state. But when I looked at the composition of Lehigh, we have a lot of out-of-state students already at Lehigh. So they're coming here to get their education, to get their knowledge. And the chances of us keeping them are probably slim to none or very, very minor, unless we as a business community have some opportunities that open up to them.
Yes, and that's true. Most universities, most first-rate universities gain their students from all over the country and the world, in fact, and they may or may not stay near the university. I think that there are opportunities to increase the number of new entities, new startups and companies in the area, or opportunities for students to stay and get jobs of interest in the Valley. So I believe the business community can help by promoting the understanding of what the opportunities are in the Valley. And we have many groups that come together, and our students have opportunities to meet local business leaders and to look at the lay of the land. I also think that as the arts community grows and thrives in the Lehigh Valley, that provides an added attraction to having deciding to spend the early parts of your career here when you have interesting things to do with your free time.
Yeah, I can't figure out how to even manage the calendar that comes out in the newspaper anymore or online, because there's just so much to do in the Lehigh Valley that, you know, whether it's Steel Stacks or Zollner or State Theater or Symphony Hall and Miller Symphony Hall. I mean, there's just a lot going on all the time in the Lehigh Valley, plus a lot of the other businesses that are springing up all over the place. So,
Yeah, that's true. I think as the Valley develops its arts community and as well is a very athletic and outdoor-focused community, it attracts young people, and I think there is an opportunity to turn around that that export of talent.
Yeah, now I noticed that Elvaic, I think, that's the Lehigh Valley Independent College Association, Elvaic, which is a consortium of all of the independent colleges. They had an intern program, or they help foster businesses finding interns. Is that, are you aware of that?
We do, yeah. We do connect with the local businesses in the Valley, and we also connect with one another, and that provides additional opportunities for students to cross-register, and we do share cross-registration and students, and we now have it all on one website where you can go on and find the course you're interested in and cross-register across our campuses, as well as staff, and the staff actually take good advantage of that. So the Elvaic is a wonderful organization for pulling together the resources of our great institutions.
Yeah, it seems that Lehigh Valley is very blessed with 11. I don't know. I mean, at MIT, you probably were surrounded by a bunch of colleges as well. I mean, is 11 a large concentration?
They talk about 26 in the Charles River Basin and around Boston. So.
Oh, my goodness. Guess, well, we're not there yet. So.
It's a bigger city. It's a much bigger city.
Yeah, with a lot more snow right now, too.
That's right.
We don't have that to deal with.
No.
Oh, that's great. Are there any other community initiatives that Lehigh sort of has been thinking about? Somebody mentioned to me a community garden program or something along that line, and I don't know anything about it. I couldn't find out anything about it.
Well, we have our first community garden is on Carlton Street by Holy Ghost Church.
Okay.
It was created for my inauguration. I asked for a compost pile and a garden for my inauguration, and that's what they gave me. The city let us use the land in that city park. And that's open to the community, and we do have a mixture of Lehigh folks and community South Bethlehem residents who have plots there. We've thought about, and I know there's work to try to expand that along the Greenway, because that linear park gives you a lot of opportunities to develop additional community gardens. There's another community garden on the Goodman campus on the other side of the hill, which is mostly Lehigh staff and faculty and students. And there they're doing some of their important work on composting, and it's been a great community builder as well. I think important for us with the community is, of course, central is our work with the schools, and both Dunnigan and Brockle Middle School are community schools now. And that provides an opportunity to develop after-school programs and really be integrated with the with the school and the community, and help the parents, the families of the students, in addition to helping the students themselves. We're also getting involved with the library. The South Bethlehem Library needed help and support, and I think that's another critical element, kids having places to go after school, and that's a great resource for the internet. We take it for granted that everybody's online, and not everybody can afford to have internet in their house, and the public library is a very important resource. And finally, of course, we're very interested, and we work hard with the merchants. Our business improvement district work is really geared toward making sure we have a thriving town and have it be clean and safe and attractive for people to come in. And I'm always excited to go down to a First Friday and see lots of people walking around, and people who I can tell are new and looking at, oh, what's this shop, and going in for the first time, and perhaps they'll come back and become regular customers. And the restaurants are going well. It's wonderful. It was hard to get into dinner the other night to take a
well, and you know, that's been an amazing transition since probably when the last steel furnace had its blast, the 1995-96. I mean, it was pretty quiet around South Bethlehem, and there wasn't much interaction between the merchants and the college, and so that has come a long way in this period of time, and it's been good on all ends. I remember when the merchants were first able to get the gold cart.
Yes.
And that was a big thing because you know that's what students used, and the fact that the university would expand that to outside the campus borders was extremely important.
Yeah, that's been a great partnership because the merchants usually give students a 10% discount if they use Lehigh Gold, and our students then are spending their money in town, which mm-hmm. has been a substantial support. And that's what you need in a thriving community around a university.
Well, and I think Lehigh even goes beyond the Bethlehem border with a lot of its thinking. At least when I've talked to Dale, it's been sort of valley-wide, and you know, so it's not just that you're focused on Lehigh or on Bethlehem, that's your major, but that the other communities surrounding are extremely important too.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, we are slowly wrapping down to the last part of the show, but I want to have you learn about some of the upcoming events that will be happening at Lehigh after this evening. So, Dr. Gass, could you share with us some of the calendar of coming events?
Well, sure. One of the great resources at Lehigh is, of course, in our academic endeavors, and I invite the whole community to come see lectures. They're always posted on our calendar on our website, lehigh.edu. So please check out the website. We have an academic symposium coming up on April 4th, which will be a wonderful showcase of research and creative and scholarly work. We're having a former ambassador to Kazakhstan, John Ordway, come on March 4th. And then, of course, the arts. There are always many arts events at the Zollner Arts Center and other venues on campus, but I particularly encourage you to come to the student productions. There's a production of one of our first musicals in a long time. It's called You're in Town, and it'll be just tomorrow night and this weekend and the following weekend. So please check that out. Beethoven Symphony No. 5 is always very popular, as well as the Piano Concerto, the Emperor Concerto No. 5 with the Beethoven Orchestra on March 9th. Lehigh's Choral Arts March 22nd. And then check out April. There are many spring concerts. Our Philharmonic, our jazz program, and our Choral Arts all have spring programs, so I hope you'll be able to come by and enjoy those.
Quite a schedule. Thank you. Listeners, I would like to thank you for listening to us this evening, but I really would like to give a special thanks to Dr. Gast for taking the time to be with us this evening. Her schedule is very busy, but it was great. I've learned some new things about Lehigh. I thought I knew a fair amount, and I did some research, but you enlightened me on some new aspects as well. Listeners, stay tuned. Celtic Fair is up next. Thank you, and have a good evening.